Assalamualaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruhu wa nu'minu bihi wa natawakkalu alayh. Wa na'udzu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyiati a'malina. Man yahdihillahu fala mudilla lahu wa man yudlilhu fala hadiya lahu. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ولله على الناس حج البيت من استطاع إليه سبيلا وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم من حج لله فلم يرفث ولم يفسق رجع كيوم ولدته أمه أو كما قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم.
Respected and honorable ulama, respected and beloved brothers in Islam, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala speaks about the months of Hajj, Al-Hajju Ashurum Ma'lumat, that the months of Hajj are known, and our Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had stated that it begins from the month of Shawwal, so that Hilal that we see, or the new crescent that we see, that signals the end of Ramadan, the coming of the day of Eid, also signals the beginning of the months of Hajj. As we are in this particular time of the year, some of the Hujjaj have already departed. May Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala safeguard them. May Allah Ta'ala accept the ibadat. And may Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala make us also part of the du'as. There are those that also wait very enthusiastically for their departure. And there are others whose names probably are on the waiting list, and there is anticipation, there is apprehension, whether it will be next year or the following year. May Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala make it a reality for one and all. Then there are also a group that have already performed the Hajj, and sometimes it may seem that now with the systems in place, we may never ever get a chance. But we should never despair. We should always be enthusiastic, requesting and beseeching Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to open the path for us to go once again on this journey. But the most important aspect of Hajj is the kind of attitude, the kind of frame of mind, the heart that we take to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hazrat Shaykh Mawlana Zakariya Sahib rahmatullah alayhi has written that when we look at this journey, then it signifies that eternal journey towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Our journey towards maut, this life is a journey, and this journey definitely comes to an end. And one of the significance of Hajj is that a person departs, he leaves his close and near and dear ones, he would leave his business and income, and all for the sake of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. So that is one significance of Hajj. And the other significance of Hajj is it signifies the love of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. That when a person, his heart is embedded with the love of Allah, then there is always a desire to return to the house of Allah Ta'ala. There was a person by the name of Bahim Ajali that was on the verge of leaving for Hajj, and the day of his departure, he began to cry. And he cried so much that Tears began to flow down his cheeks, his chest, and people around said it began to fall onto his lungi. And then people questioned him that why are you crying and why is this tear so profuse? So he replied that this journey of mine reminds me of the eternal journey towards Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So that is one aspect with regards to the frame of mind that a person should have, and probably and possibly not only on the departure of Hajj, but on the departure of Umrah, that whenever a person leaves and goes towards Baytullah, the house of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, such should be the attitude. In the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, our Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has given many virtues. We cannot go through all of them. But one or two aspects of these virtues of Hajj is in one hadith, a portion of the hadith, that Hajjul Mabrur, a righteous Hajj, laysa lahu jaza'un illa al-jannah, that there is no jaza, there is no reward, no recompense, but Jannah. In one hadith, our Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was asked by Sahaba, which is the best of a'mal? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied, Imanun billah. It is iman in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, emerging and going out in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam spoke about this righteous Hajj. That this righteous Hajj overtakes and is more virtuous than other deeds, like the distance between the east and the west. So it is an act that is loved and beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is an act that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala gives the hujjaj the privilege of making this journey, undertaking this journey and reaching the house of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Now when we look at the ayats of the Quran, and when we look at the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we will find a recurrence of one important aspect. Before we get there, once Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made an exclamation. He said to Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, that what would a person do if he goes to the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that person was not in possession of three qualities. In the absence of these three qualities, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not in need of his Hajj. Now like that, Allah ta'ala is not in need of any one of our ibadat. Allah is not in need of our standing in qiyam and our ruku and our sujood. But obviously, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us the tawfiq, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rewards us upon that. So these three qualities that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, one quality is that of wara. Wara can be translated as piety, righteousness, consciousness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Such wara, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, that will keep a person away from the maharim, keeps the person away from the prohibitions of Islam, those things that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has made haram. Now on this wara, ulama have also included other aspects. That the basic fundamental of it is to keep away from haram. Just an example, not to say there is any laxity in this. A person may have his earphones in his ears and is listening to some music, and he does it out of the house of Allah, he does it on the street, then that is haram. Then a person approaches the masjid, he enters and he's still in the wudu khana or in the sehen of the masjid. All of us will agree, there is a magnitude and a multiplication of that haram. Not to mention, if that person now comes into the house of Allah, And even if he reads the dua, Allahumma aftah li abwaaba rahmatik, and he comes into the house of Allah, then that will never ever be tolerated. Like that, one is a sin that a person commits, wherever he may be. One is the sin in the precincts of the haram of Makkah. And then one is, a person goes into the actual haram, and that person then commits a sin and he breaks the commandments of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Obviously it multiplies. Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he was known in this ummah as A'lamun Nas bil Manasik. He was the most learned insofar as the laws of Hajj and Umrah was concerned. It is said about him that whenever he would come into the haram of Makkah, before entering the haram, he would have a tent pitched out of the haram of Makkah. And if he was to rebuke someone for doing wrong, if he was going to say something that he perceived, although it may have been haq, it was true, but he would hurt the feelings of someone, then he would take all the trouble of leaving the haram of Makkah, going to that tent with that individual, and then discussing whatever he needed to discuss with that individual. That is how particular the Sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was with regards to their words, with regards to their deeds and their actions in the haram of Makkah. Now ulama have also included, besides wara and this kind of piety that will keep us away from the maharim, there are added issues that one needs to bring into one's life so that one realizes the greatness of this journey, the magnitude of this journey, and of course, this great ni'mat of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. When we look at some of the ayats of the Quran, Allah ta'ala says, وَأَتِمُّ الْحَجَّ وَالْعُمْرَةَ لِلَّهِ, that complete your hajj and your umrah lillah, for the sake of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, lillahiyat. وَلِلَّهِ عَلَى النَّاسِ حِجُّ الْبَيْتِ, and for the sake of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, upon mankind is the hajj of Baytullah. Again we see lillahiyat. We see for the sake of Allah. Man hajja lillah, in the hadith, our Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has also stated, whoever makes hajj for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that probably the journey is afforded by a few privileged ones by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The probability, and Allah ta'ala save us all, of ostentation may come into our hearts that I have performed so many hajjs and I have made umrah for so many times in my life. And that type of ostentation comes. As a matter of fact, when Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala describes the ahkam of hajj in Surah Al-Baqarah, Allah ta'ala concludes and Allah ta'ala says, وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهِ, and fear Allah. And as a matter of fact, it is replete. Fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hazrat Mufti Shafi Sahib rahmatullah alayh has written an incident of a person that was pious, and as an added bonus from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had placed a kind of noor, a kind of light on his face. And after he undertook this journey of hajj, suddenly people found that that light had diminished. The switch has been switched off. So when this person goes to his sheikh and he inquires the reason, the sheikh responded that probably before hajj, you had a lot of humility, there was a lot of humbleness, and now after the hajj, a kind of pride had entered your heart. And what enters the heart sometimes has an effect on the face, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has removed that. Ibn Rajab Hanbali rahmatullah alayh states the incident of a person that had undertaken many journeys of Hajj, and that Hajj, those Hajjs of his, was all by foot walking. One is the Hajj of these days that we will walk from probably Makkah or Aziziya to Mina, and then to Arafat, and then to Muzdalifah and Mina, and we make tawaf e ziyarat. Allah Ta'ala accept one and all, and the Hajj of each and every person. But sometimes there's that feeling in our hearts of accomplishment. Sometimes there's a feeling of doing things that others cannot do. But in those days when they spoke about the Hajj by foot in this particular person's incident, it was from his hometown that he would walk towards Makkah on so many occasions. One night, his mother asked him for a glass of water. Now sometimes when a person has already gone to bed and we are on snooze mode, then things become very difficult for us. But these are tests from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he found a little bit of difficulty in his heart to get up and give his mother that glass of water. But he overcame that difficulty, and he fetched that glass of water and he gave it to his mother. And then he began to introspect why the difficulty, and this probably is another very important aspect in my life and your life, this aspect of introspection. Like the poet says, the day when I looked into my own heart. And sometimes we need to be brutally honest about our own conditions. Then I stop looking at the conditions and the actions of others. Today, we suffer from this illness and the sickness of looking at everyone else. The niyat and intention is not known. We don't know the kind of ikhlas in the hearts of others. But we very quickly condemn and criticize others. And the result is we forget ourselves. So this person had done this. That so many Hajj I had made, walking, effort, energy that is required, I didn't find that difficult. But a glass of water from my bed to wherever the water was, I found that reluctance and that difficulty. He immediately attributed it that there is probably a stench of ostentation, a stench of to show my deed out to others. And immediately he turns to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and he makes tawbah. So when we speak about this lillahiyat, it must be done only for the sake of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. And that doesn't begin with the journey. Or that doesn't begin at the airport. Or when we have landed in Jeddah. That should begin now already. Whether our names are on the list or not. But when we find that we are by the means of performing our Hajj. And we are able to in all the ways that we can. Then already we need to look deep into our hearts and to seek also from Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahimahumullah used to make this dua. Allahumma ja'al a'malana khalisatan li wajhik. La taj'al li ahadin fiha haddan li ghayrik. Allah, make my amal purely and only for you, and do not make anyone else a shareholder in that. So that is briefly the one aspect of it. That there needs to be ikhlas, there needs to be sincerity. The second aspect that ulama have written is that from the time the niyat has come, we need to intensify in our ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Our tawbah and istighfar, seeking forgiveness from Allah, repenting and asking Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala for forgiveness. And then together with that, to intensify our ibadat, our fara'is, Whether all of it is up to date or not, let's not wait for Medina Sharif and Makkah Sharif to perform all our qadas, whether it is our salat or our sawm or whatever it may be. But let us begin from now, that we now straighten the records between us and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is an important preparation not only for the journey of Hajj, but for the journey towards our maut and our akhirat. And then together with that, our nawafil, so much has been written about those people on their journey to Makkah Mukarrama. One great alim, Sayyidina Masruq, Rahmatullah alayhi, it has been mentioned about him, that leave alone the Haramain, Sharifain, but on the way to Makkah, on the way to Medina Munawwara, and we can understand the journey of those days was not the journey of an aeroplane or business class or first class. It was arduous. It was not an 8-hour journey to Jeddah. It was journeys over many days. And in those type of journeys, he exerted himself so much in the ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that those that narrate say that he would not even lie down, even when he was tired, and sometimes sleep would overtake him whilst he was in sajda. Now if we can imagine our sajda and their sajda, that must have been such a long sajda that sleep would overtake him in that sajda. Then there were those in this ummah, Mughira ibn Hakim, that on the journey in itself on a daily basis, in his nawafil salah, he would read 1/3 of the Qur'an, 10 juz of the Qur'an. Today if we say to somebody, bhai, you in Medina Sharif, together with all your salawat and your ziyarat of Nabi Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in that 8 or 9 days, try to make one khatam of the Qur'an, they say the time is too short. This was on a daily basis, that in his salat, in his namaz, he would read 10 juz of the Qur'an. Amongst those people who had completed Qur'an Sharif in the Kaaba, not in the Haram, in the Kaaba, one name that comes, that strikes, is the name of Numan ibn Thabit, Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahumullah, that when he was afforded the opportunity of entering the Kaaba Sharif, in one night, he stood and he completed the entire Qur'an. They say for the first 15 juz, he stood on one foot. And then for the second 15 juz, he stood on the other foot. And in this way, he made khatam of the Qur'an. So they had taken this journey to Makkah Mukarrama very, very seriously, understanding and realizing that it is a privilege and an honor that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us with regards to inviting us to the house of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. The third aspect would be the frame of mind and the kind of heart that we take to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allama Shibli rahmatullah alayhi has written that every heart has a desire and every heart burns in that desire. If you desire this material world, then you will burn with the fire of this material world. That when we look at the fire of this world, then what happens is whatever is in the fire burns to ashes, to smithereens, and then it just flies. Haba'an manthura, it just flies into the air. And like that, we are trying to become somebody and something in this world. And Allah Ta'ala, Allah forbid, Allah makes us nobody and nothing. And then that person that has the desire for Jannah, then the fire of Jannah is such that burns that heart and that desire is like the fire of a goldsmith. And gold is put into that fire. What happens? It only purifies that gold. Allah grant us such desires. And then that person that has the desire of Allah Ta'ala himself, then that person is burnt by the noor of Allah Ta'ala. By the noor of Allah Ta'ala means that now Allah Ta'ala captures his heart. Allahu yajtabi ilayhi man yasha. Allah Ta'ala draws his heart like a magnet towards Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. Allah grant us this quality. Shuraih Rahmatullah Ali, standing on the plains of Arafat, of course, of those days, and he said that there are so many hundreds of thousands of Hujjaj, but very few have come with the burn of this desire of the love of Allah Ta'ala. So when our Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam speaks about wara, and he speaks about this piety, then these are the aspects that we should begin to inculcate from the time that we have desired to go for Hajj, and even before that actually. And quickly, the second, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam speaks about his hilm. Hilm, forbearance and tolerance. From beginning to end, we are going to interact with people in different aspects. Some of them will approach us arrogantly, others may be ignorantly, others may be foolish in their approach. And we need to have that kind of tolerance within us that we will overcome it. They say if we are weak and somebody approaches us arrogantly, then we will want to retaliate. If we are strong, then we will forgive. And if we are noble, we would ignore. Let us try to be noble in our approach. And the third is Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam says, Husnu Sahaba, that we can never perform Hajj on our own, isolate ourselves from everyone else. We are going to interact with people. So let us do good in whatever, let us be of use and value to others, making the khidmat of others, striking the balance between our hukukullah, our rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the rights of others. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala accept the hajj of one and all. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the correct heart, the correct frame of mind, the correct ikhlas and sincerity, the correct deeds, and of course, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us all amongst his beloved. Wa sallallahu wa sallam ala nabiyil kareem wa alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.